Back when.
Wubba-lub-dub-dub, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast, or...
A Doc Pass.
That's right.
Oh, right. Now I get it.
I am Punkin, and with me today, I have, let's go ladies first, to my right, Mirimu.
Hello, podcast land.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. And to my left, Drew Back When.
Hello, everyone. Happy International Women's Day.
To put this into a temporal context.
Yes.
2016, by the way. We are gathered here today to discuss, in brief, our experience at OxCon 2016, the Oxford Comic Con. As far as I'm aware, the first, quote-unquote, proper Comic Con in Oxford. There has been a previous OxCon, but it was specifically a comic book thing. It was like an actual Comic Con.
Oh, right. And Comic Con's not usually predominantly about comics?
Well, I think that's how it started, but then it just turned into any kind of...
Merch fest?
Yeah, basically. Any kind of pop culture, nerdery merch fest, yes. A marketplace.
Okay.
I feel like they're actually almost now more TV and movies than comic books. Maybe? Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
Cinematic universes and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Okie dokie. So...
Give us some backstory. How did we get involved with this con at all?
Well, first of all, we happen to live in Oxford.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
We found out through the wonders of the interwebs that such a thing as OxCon was going to happen. And we got in touch with OxCon. Hello, OxCon. Who were gracious enough to grant us some press passes. Thank you so much, very, very kind of you.
We love you, OxCon! Oh my god, seriously, same time next year!
We were entitled to 2 days of OxCon. We only attended 1 day of OxCon. That's not to say that it wasn't interesting enough, or anything like that. But, I mean, we are a Doctor Who podcast, and the Doctor Who stuff really happened on day one.
Yeah.
That's a legitimate reason. Anyway, what did we do at OxCon?
Well...
Bing bong, Future Punkin here. Really sorry, but for some reason we lost a little bit of the audio at this point. Just a couple of seconds, don't worry about it. But anyway, to fill in the blanks, what you didn't hear Drood say was that he wore a Who Back When t-shirt. Yes, he did. Heads up, there's one more instance of lost audio coming up later on in this bonus episode. Again, just a few seconds. And when we get to that point, I'm going to at least attempt to seamlessly bing bong it back into place. Bing bong.
Perhaps you'll be able to see a screenshot of what one of those look like. Maybe not on me, but maybe the original model on the website.
And depending on when you're listening to this, you may even be able to order your own t-shirt off the website.
Goodness.
We have one currently.
Yeah, we have
up
one
for sale.
So if you're a small. Anyway, yes, you wore a t-shirt, a Who Back When t-shirt. Miri and I, we were in cosplay.
Yep. I went as Padme Amidala from the first Star Wars trilogy, but...
The first Star Wars trilogy? The first Star Wars trilogy?
Yes.
Oh, we just lost our listeners.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3. Not the first original trilogy, the prequel.
Yes, that's
but
right.
But I was constantly referred as Princess Leia.
Yes, you were.
And I had to tell everyone that actually I was the one with the trousers and I was the mother... Not Leia.
You were the one with the trousers. Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. The wife of, I believe...
Admin Skywalker.
Admin Skywalker. The paper pusher of the Empire.
And you attracted a great deal of attention.
Yes.
In that guise.
Oh my goodness.
People were queuing up. People were desperate to have you as the centerpiece of their elaborately staged photos.
Or maybe not.
Desperately calling your rebel allegiance into question. As you posed for photos with stormtroopers and countless Boba Fats.
Because they were kind enough to do so.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, but it was fun as well.
Yeah, it happened about once every half an hour. Just people would suddenly gather.
Yeah.
And you'd be at the middle of this nerd maelstrom, this nerdstrom.
Oh my god, the full-size Chewbacca kept patting you on the head as well.
Yeah, that's because she can... Speak his language.
Clearly.
Yes, I can speak Chewbacca.
Wookiee.
I can speak Wookiee, but especially I understand Chewbacca much better. Because the only Wookiee I've ever encountered.
Yeah, he's got a particular dialect. Anyway, Leon, what were you dressed up as?
I was dressed up as Rick Sanchez of Rick and Morty fame. The vulgar version of Doc Brown, if you will.
Yeah.
And I was surprised to be recognized by so many people, actually.
Yeah.
I thought more people would just go, you're a mad scientist, or you are a blue-haired Doc Brown.
You've also been interviewed
I was interviewed.
Because your costume was so unique.
Well, unique in the sense that I was the only Rick Sanchez at the con, but...
Original idea, anyway.
Well, I think probably quite a lot of people dress up. It turns out Rick and Morty is fucking super popular because people kept... Like, someone turned up with a Rick and Morty t-shirt when we were in the pub later on, like completely far away from Cotter. Anyway, this is not the Rick and Morty podcast. But yes, how about we start on that, actually? The interview, just because it was a total public relations fail. Because of the outfits, I got interviewed by Nerdemic. Thank you very much, Nerdemic. There'll probably be a video at some point. I don't know if it's worth embedding on this page on whobagwon.com. If it is, I will. So check that. It was, what, like a one-minute interview? And it was all about the cosplay and, like, if I'm local and if I enjoy going to Comic-Cons. And... that was pretty much it, and I sort of tried to ham-fist the fact that I'm into Doctor Who and maybe that could lead somewhere, and then somehow it slipped my mind completely and I failed to mention that Who Back When exists.
That's you getting too into character.
I tried to sort of fix that by tweeting at Nerdemic and saying that, and then they liked it, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who knows?
Well, maybe that probably makes up for it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. God damn it. I'm an idiot. I'm a total idiot.
Retcons our whole story. Well, I photobombed some Jedi posers.
Yes.
But mostly I got lambasted for not dressing up properly.
Yes,
by
you did.
A guy in a full 6-foot rabbit costume. So he could have been any age. He could have been a 15-year-old punk or a 70-year-old wise elder.
He also hung around for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, he just sort of stood around going, "You're a muggle."
Yeah, he wanted me to know just how much he disapproved of my life choices.
Yeah.
Utterly foisted upon me by you.
I'm sorry
But I
that.
Couldn't tell him that. I was a brand ambassador.
Yes, you were. And a fine job you did, sir.
Yeah, how many extra likes have we got on Facebook? Anyway.
15, give or take, 15.
Oh, okay, let's make up a number, yeah.
Well, there were some actual, like, Whovian things on the roster. And in fact, the very first thing that we did was we attended a talk. The opening talk of OxCon was held by a chap named Matt Fitton, who is a Doctor Who writer. He writes Doctor Who audiobooks for Big Finish.
Mm.
And he talked us through the process of this is how we, I felt quite randomly, pick topics or aliens, yeah. Then have to get everything approved and sanctioned by the BBC, then actually write the stories and then produce them. And it was, I don't know, what did you guys think of that talk?
Well, those talks are always difficult because the creative process to a certain extent must remain nebulous. And so it was at the end of the talk. There were a couple of slides showing a script, perhaps, and then there was a clip from the finished episode. You weren't 100% sure how you got from one to the other, but it's standard sort of prosaic, time-intensive things like drafts and rewrites and committees and read-throughs and things like that, and so you can't really...
I was quite sorry not to have asked him, actually, how long does it take? What is the average time it takes between, oh, wow, I've just pitched an idea to the BBC and they've approved it, to we now have a finished audiobook that people can download or buy, you know?
Yeah.
I was quite curious about that, because this is his... principal occupation.
Mm. Which he's moved into slowly over time.
Yeah.
One thing he did do was give us hope. Because
oh my goodness, yes.
He submitted to an open submission.
The Big Finish apparently have these open submission days. Like, just anyone is welcome to submit. I don't think it was a full script. It was like a script idea. It was a treatment, basically.
Yes.
And he did so successfully. They picked it up. I can't remember what his idea was about. Do you remember?
Something historical, wasn't it?
But he studied classics and English at Oxford.
Like someone else I know.
Well, I didn't do English.
No, but you did classics.
Yes!
Yes, you did, at Oxford Uni.
So let's get on with that audio play.
Yes, oh my goodness, yes.
Is the lesson. And afterwards, he was good enough to stick around and let you probe him.
Figuratively. Matt, if you're listening, thank you so much for sticking around and having a chat. It was, for lack of a better word, inspiring. Like, it really got me in the mood to sit down and write an audiobook, you know? It was really good. And the talk didn't cover tons of details about the production or the writerly processes or, you know, whatever. But he only had 45 minutes to talk about this.
Yeah.
You can really only dip in and out of this topic, and the rest... it's up to you as the listener of this talk to, you know, to fill in the blanks, and that's part of the pleasure of it. Just like you have to listen to these audiobooks and imagine everything that's happening in them. I loved it. I thought it was a really good talk.
Yeah, and I learned a lot about just how vast the audiobook world Big Finish is creating.
Oh my goodness.
So many doctors, so many different series and directions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really quite impressive stuff.
Yeah.
I told him about the audiobooks that we're reviewing on Who Back When. He thought he loves the Eighth Doctor Adventures with Lucy Miller as the companion, the Eighth Doctor, obviously. Thought it was a very good place to start and definitely to see that through. But I asked him which ones of his audiobooks should one maybe dip into. And he said the River Song stories that he's written. So check that out.
Yeah, why not?
Bing bong, Future Ponkin here. The proper title there, of course, is The Diary of River Song. Check it out. And you can follow Matt Fitton on Twitter. He is Matty F? Matty F. It's Matt I-E-F. That's I-E-F, the letters. Bing bong.
But it wasn't, although this con was a bit more lectury,
yeah,
because they were playing up the academic Oxford connections of it,
yeah,
that wasn't the only Doctor Who fair on offer, now was it?
No, it was not. Are you referring to the second talk, or are you referring to the personage of...
Yes, I'm referring to the celeb.
The celeb? Do you want to take this one, Mary?
I don't remember his name.
What was his name?
Simon Fisher-Becker.
That's his name.
Dorian Maldivar in the Doctor Who series. A.K.A.
Big Blue Guy.
Big Blue Guy, yeah. He was a very friendly person. He also played a scene in Harry Potter, the Philosopher's Stone.
Yes, the something monk?
He was the fat monk.
Wait, that's his name? Yeah. That's his character's name, he's the fat monk?
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
I know.
Talk about being typecast.
Well, he may not think it's unfortunate. He's a big guy. His career description was character parts, yeah, and a lot of those characters are overweight guys.
Yeah.
There's a niche to be filled.
Well, I mean, I suppose from a purely, you know, cinematographical point of view, it might be difficult to have him play the skinny monk.
Yeah.
But regardless, charming fellow. Very, very nice, and very good of him to just take the time to talk to us.
Yes, and taking pictures. It was very, very nice.
Yeah. There are some pics on whobackwhen.com, so check those out.
What information did you extract from him?
We asked how long it took him, in general, to be painted blue all over. And he said he took about 4 hours.
4 hours, including wardrobe and everything.
Yeah, so that's not too long, actually.
That's what she said. But also... He added that they sprayed him with this sticky, gloopy goop after painting in blue to basically, like a sealant, like just to,
to keep that pain. And he said it felt like he had webs between his fingers.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I quote.
That is what he said. I was there. And that was the only celeb we met.
There were others.
But we didn't talk to them.
No.
There was a guy who designed the Darth Vader helmet.
And tons of other, like, he designed, I think, the Death Star, the TIE Fighters, the X-Wing, like, iconic shit.
Okay.
Why cool. didn't we talk to him?
I don't know why we
should
didn't
have gone back that second day.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh well. And there was some guy who'd been in a Harry Potter film as well.
Yeah,
small part.
He was a Death Eater.
That was about it for
celebs.
Yeah, personalities. Mostly it was just comics and art and a bit of merch, but significantly a significant amount of comics.
A lot of comics, sort of not established comics. Not underground, but, you know, like, I mean, I hesitate to say hipster comics. Like, the comics that are simply, you know, I'm into comics that you haven't even heard of yet. That's the kind of comic book reader that I'm thinking
of. But also, there was an interesting one, the Bible.
Yes, we stumbled upon...
time there.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yeah, the Lion Hudson Hero Bible.
Yes.
Which one of our friends, Jess Tinker, was involved in the editorial process of.
Well, she was the editor of it, was she not?
Yeah, and she's named in it.
Yeah.
And everything.
We checked it. Hi, Jess, by the way, if you're listening. Awesome, stunning piece of work, by the way.
Yeah, seriously, the Bible is epic. And it was epically rendered. So he did the whole first half.
The chapter we
missed. The Old Testament, yeah. And he was... I've still got his card.
We talked about Doctor Who with this guy.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, actually, we did. Let's bring this back to a Doctor Who doc past.
He had a lot of opinions.
Yes, wow. I think what it boiled down to was he felt that Doctor Who was out of touch with the current TV watching generation.
Yeah, he said that the US was doing a much better job of
writing TV shows in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He seemed to think that the whole BBC culture was sort of mired in the same slavish devotion to the past, utterly unable to move forward, really.
Yeah. Well, in a way, there are two schools of thought regarding, like, if we take Doctor Who as an example. It's a show that's been going on for over half a century, and part of the charm of the show is that it does still harken back to its origins. So there's that, and then versus his school of thought of, no, we need to renew the whole thing, or we need a more modern, sort of meme-centric Doctor Who. But then there's the other side of the coin where people are going, well, actually, there are massive discrepancies between New Who and Classic Who, and yeah, we don't like that. It doesn't harken back enough, you know? I mean, we were recording our Gridlock review just before we pressed record on this bonus app. And during said review, we complained, at least JD and I did, complained that the macro had changed completely.
Well, one of his points I certainly did agree with is that Doctor Who, its conceit, it represents almost infinite potential.
Yeah.
And almost every week, that is not realised. In some way or another. I mean, you can't write perfect episode after perfect episode.
No.
But Doctor Who represents such vastness. And to see them making the same mistakes over and over again in his eyes, I imagine that can be incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, maybe Doctor Who just isn't the show for him. but regardless, it was really interesting to talk to him.
Yes.
Super good artist. And also, really nice to talk to someone who criticizes Doctor Who, you know, who actually has, in many ways, rhetorically and logically, a legitimate cause to criticize the show.
Yeah, he was clearly well acquainted enough with the show to
Definitely.
Make a really coherent argument.
Absolutely.
He wasn't just, you know, bashing it.
No, not at all. And a nice chap as well.
So yeah, that was Siku. He's an artist, theologian, graphic novelist, musician, and writer. The guy has 5 dream jobs.
What a dude.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the second talk?
Yeah.
Yes, the second talk by
Miranda
Lowry.
Lowry.
Or Lowry.
Or Lowry.
Lowry.
Her name is spelled Lowry. We don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry, podcast land.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry, Miranda.
People, Google Miranda. She's a web designer / student / dancer. I tried to find out if she was on Twitter. She's not, as far as I can tell.
Also, / super knowledgeable.
I was about to say.
Deviant. Yeah.
Oh, not just that, like, in general. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
How super well-read was she? Crazy clever.
Well, her talk was comparing Doctor Who to Gilgamesh.
Yeah.
By way of Jungian archetypes.
This girl flew from Colorado to Oxford just to give this lecture, and I thought she did very, very well.
Oh my goodness,
it
yes.
It was amazing. It was actually the talk that I liked the most.
Yeah, it was super interesting.
Yeah, her argument, she was drawing parallels between the Doctor and Gilgamesh, and he had to have a companion who is the wild man in Gilgamesh. Is it Echidnu?
Bing bong. Then we have the hero's journey. Bing bong.
Which would be the Doctor... And his journey, and the whole plot, the point of Gilgamesh being that towards the end, spoiler alert, Gilgamesh and, was it Echidnu?
Enkidu
have become human together. Was that it?
Yes.
Something like that. And the point being that the Doctor is rendered more human through his companions.
Especially Clara,
yes. I'm not sure I understand that.
Well, because she's holding up the cards, and he's, as Capaldi, he's such a detached, almost autistic weirdo, and Clara has to teach him how to emote and say nice things when humans expect him to.
So is he rendered more human by Clara just by sheer virtue of the contrast between being full human and being Capaldi? As in, Capaldi is less human than his predecessors and therefore... Or actually, not less human. Less socially competent is basically what we're saying, right?
Yeah, but, more alien.
He's more alien than his predecessors and therefore he's rendered more human by Clara?
Well,
if you compare, like, let's say Matt Smith, who's maybe less alien?
Yeah, Clara submits him to a more intense process of humanization.
There we go. But not because Clara can, but because Capaldi requires it.
Yes. Yes. I think she was intimating that it's become especially explicit, the whole Gilgamesh thing. And Gilgamesh tries to get the Flower of Immortality, like the Doctor The Doctor can never get resolution, essentially. Yeah. Neither of them can. They are doomed to keep travelling.
Yeah. I thought it was very, very interesting. There was one point in that talk which, almost immediately after the talk, I regretted not having asked about, because I'm sure she would have had a fantastic answer, and that is, the Doctor is actually made human at one point. Tennant splits off, and we have the non-Time Lord version of Tennant, right? That is him going full circle. Yeah. So in a way, the Doctor actually does, like Gilgamesh actually does become human. The Doctor actually does become human.
He completes the hero's journey, and that's why everybody loves that storyline.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, either way, Miranda, if you're listening, thank you so much for your talk, and please do pop a comment on this post on whobackwhen.com with any thoughts regarding that plotline.
Yeah, you got us thinking, you got the whole room asking questions.
Yeah.
Everybody was really involved.
Actually, that was a super positive thing about that. Everyone in the room suddenly just chimed in and wanted to talk about it. Mm. Very interesting.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in her position because the questions were actually very difficult to
ask. Yeah. No, she did a great job. Yeah. No wonder she was invited from the States.
Mm.
We came from around the corner.
Yep.
Yeah, for free.
We weren't even invited.
So that's sort of it, really. I mean, it's quite small overall. Perhaps it will be bigger next year.
Yeah. Well, MCM is like a hangar. This was two rooms. Very small, much more cerebral, intimate.
Yeah. And quite chilled, really.
Yeah, super relaxed, right?
Yeah. There were people of all ages there and just... It was almost like... an exhibition or a museum.
Yeah, and quite fascinating also. I mean, like, MCM, you're in this massive, vast hangar, whereas here, you're in the Oxford University examination halls, which you knew very well, obviously.
Yeah. and which Matt Fitton wouldn't have known equally well.
Any last words about Oxcon 2016? How about cosplay? There were some Doctor Who cosplayers there.
Yeah?
Not that many. Saw someone in a Tom Baker scarf.
You bumped into a Rose and Eccleston.
There's London Blitz. What's that episode called? Boomtown. No.
No, Boomtown is with a Raxacorica Falapatorian. Empty Child?
No. Well, you can still add it. I think it's the London Blitz.
Yeah, isn't that during the Empty Child one?
I don't remember.
Future Poggin.
Bing bong, it's Totes Malotes, the double feature comprising the Empty Child and the Doctor Dances. Bing bong.
But it was my first con ever.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I didn't know what to expect. I was skeptical.
Maybe it was a nice sort of tame introduction to the world of conventions.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of the lectures and I felt right at home because it was a welcoming environment. Yeah. And I very much look forward to next year, should they stage another one.
Yes, absolutely. And would both of you say that you're inclined to attend larger cons in London, for example? There's one coming up in May, there's one coming up in June.
Ooh, I don't want to commit to that, but it would give me another chance to wear my t-shirt.
Yes, I might even wear mine this time.
Yeah, why not? It was also my first con, and I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah?
Yep, so why not? I would like to explore it further.
Bingo. Are you going to go as Amidala again, or...?
To wear the Who Back When t-shirt.
So that's it. That's what we have to say about Oxcon 2016.
Thank you very much for listening. Be rad and excellent to each other.
Follow us on Twitter.
Don't follow me on Twitter, I'll start, because I don't use Twitter even if I have it. But if you want to look for me, I'm at...
You're so good at selling yourself on Twitter. Don't follow me, but I mean, if you have to, then you know you could.
Underscore?
You're asking me what your Twitter is? You're worse than Rory.
It's at Mirimu. You'll find me there.
I think it's M_Mirimu.
Yes, M_Mirimu.
So follow her, maybe.
You don't have to.
True.
For JD's benefit, I am Fernanda Drew back when.
Beautiful. And I'm at Ponkin.
Here's the soundbite of Mirimu spelling how you say it. Ponkin.
Thanks, Mirimu.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for listening. Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye.
Kablamo. Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus Who Back When. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who Back When just got its very own Twitter account, no lie, so give us a follow. You guessed it, that's @WhoBackWhen, all in one word.
Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Ciao.
Who Back When.